Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Immanuel Kant, towards the end of his Prolegomena to Any Future Metaphysics, in the section entitled Solution of the General Question of the Prolegomena, is going to issue a challenge and then rule out certain ways of addressing or responding to the challenge. So what is the challenge? It's essentially to make metaphysics into a genuine science, a Wissenschaft. And Kant says nobody has managed to pull that off up until now. And he says, if you want proof of this, if anybody thinks himself offended, he is at liberty to refute my charge by doing what? By producing an Führung, by, leading forward a single synthetic proposition belonging to metaphysics dogmatically a priori. And so what are the important parts of this? We don't really need to worry about the dogmatically descriptor there, but what somebody has to do is show us a single a priori synthetic proposition which belongs to metaphysics itself, not to, say, mathematics or pure natural science, but actual metaphysics. Kant, earlier on in the work, said, yeah, we've got mathematics, we've got pure natural science. Those are fine. We already know that they exist. When we're asking, how are they possible? We're not saying, are they possible? But metaphysics, we haven't really had the kind of progress that we need to make in it until, Kant says, his critical project. And why is that the case? Well, because, as he said a little bit earlier, metaphysics did not exist as a science, nor can it be gathered piecemeal, but its germ must be fully preformed in critique. So, if you want to prove that Kant is wrong, then you've got to produce something that would fit this bill. And that you could do piecemeal. And Kant is going to say something really interesting after that. He says, there are two things which, in case the challenge be accepted, I must deprecate. Now, what is to deprecate something, verbieten in this case? It's to put down. So when we say somebody is self-deprecating, we're saying, oh, they put themselves down, right? In this case, Kant is happy to deprecate these two approaches, these two kinds of appeals. And what are they? Well, one is what we can call trifling, Spielwerk, right? Playing around, messing around, we often say. Spielwerk or trifling about, and here the translation, a little bit perhaps misleading, about probability, which is Wahrscheinlichkeit, and conjecture, Mutmaßung. Now, I do want to point out that Kant himself has engaged in a bit of what he says is Mutmaßung earlier in the section preceding this and identified it as such, right? He says, that's not part of science. I'm inquiring into something. I know that I cannot claim this to be metaphysics per se. So probability, translated here, Wahrscheinlichkeit, another way of translating that is verisimilitude, right? Something that looks like it's true. It has the appearance of truth, but it's not really true or certain. And then conjecture, literally, what is piling up or measuring of our sentiment, our mut, right? And so that's one thing that we're going to have to look at, or maybe two things that we're going to have to look at. And then the other one that Kant really doesn't like, not just in this work, but throughout his works as a whole, is the, as he calls it, the magic wand, right? You wave a magic wand. Sometimes in philosophy, we talk about hand waving. Similarly, when somebody doesn't really have an argument, they just wave their hand. The magic wand of so-called sound common sense. Gesunde Menschenverstand. Literally, the understanding, the common understanding of human beings. And, you know, common sense is an English term that we use, but this Menschenverstand is used similarly in German. Generally, putting Kant aside, when somebody appeals to common sense, you can bet that there's something a bit suspect going on. You know, common sense typically, as Kant is saying right here, doesn't actually convince everybody, but accommodates itself to personal peculiarities. Very often people will assert that what they are claiming is a matter of common sense when it's not. If it was truly common sense, then all rational beings would in fact immediately say, yes, that's correct to it. And that just isn't the case. So common sense is a bit of a misnomer there. So what does he actually have to say about probability and conjecture? Why is this a problem? There's really three main points. So he says, for the former, nothing can be more absurd than in metaphysics, a philosophy from pure reason, than to try to ground our judgments upon probability and conjecture. Why is this absurd? Because everything that is to be cognized a priori is announced as apodeictically certain and must be proved in this way. Is probability apodeictic? No, it's just probable. It could be this way. It seems like it's this way. It's plausible. I bet that it's the case. That's not the same thing as being absolutely certain. So that's a little too loosey-goosey, we might say. He says, we might as well try to ground geometry or arithmetic on conjectures. That's not the way we proceed with those two mathematical disciplines. So why the hell would we do that with metaphysics? It's not a good idea to do that. Then he goes on and he says, well, okay, somebody might raise an objection. What about the calculus of probabilities? Kant is living in a time when mathematics has advanced far enough, really from the time of Pascal, right, to encompass predictions about things. For example, about gambling, about lotteries and playing cards and dice and stuff like that. If you've ever studied probability and statistics, which is usually how we're putting these things together in courses, you know that there is a theory of probability and there is a calculus for it. And it gets quite complicated at times. It's quite an interesting area to study. And this is a very important point. We're not actually saying that the realities that we're working with are merely probable. When we're doing the theory of probability, as Kant says, it does not contain probable but perfectly certain judgments. What kind of judgments? Concerning the degree of the possibility of certain cases, and notice the assumption here, under given uniform conditions, which in the sum of all possible cases must infallibly happen according to the rule, though it's not sufficiently determined as regards every single instance. So, you know, we throw dice, we can say, oh, you know, we got snake eyes, ones on each of them, a two out of the possible 12 that we could have on six-sided die, right? What's the probability of that? If you know how to calculate this, you immediately say 1 in 36. Same as rolling two sixes. 1 in 36. Same with rolling two fives. 1 in 36. How do you know that? Because it's not something that is merely probable. It's actually something certain. So that's not a really good objection. And then he talks about the empirical sciences. And he says that, you know, conjectures by means of what we typically do, induction, right? There's a whole science of induction or theory of induction, and analogy, drawing analogies between things. Now, Kant here doesn't seem to mean what he's earlier called analogy in part three of the Prolegomena. He means analogy in the way that we typically understand it, where we apply what we know about one case to something similar over here, and we say, it's probably going to go similarly like that, but I could be wrong. Well, those are fine for the empirical sciences. Metaphysics isn't an empirical science, so this isn't going to do us any good. So we can rule out relying on probability and conjecture. What about common sense? There's an entire school over in Britain and Scotland that want to, you know, base things on common sense and are deriving metaphysics in that way. By the way, they had adherents in Germany and in America. So what about that? Kant says the appeal to common sense is even more absurd. So it's not just absurd, it's more absurd. There's less to base it on than with probability and conjecture. Why? When concepts and principles are said to be valid, not insofar as they hold with regard to experience, but outside the conditions of experience. It's fine to use whatever we're going to call common sense for things that are purely experiential. But if we're going to try to go beyond it into metaphysics, not really going to work. Why? So Kant says, well, what is common sense? What do we mean when we use this term? So it's a faculty of knowledge and use of rules in, as he says, concreto, in concrete particular cases, not in abstracto. And he uses the Latin terms in his work, in the general, universal sense, right? He says that, for example, common sense can hardly understand the rule that every event is determined by means of its cause, and it can never comprehend it thus generally. It demands an example from experience when it hears this rule means nothing but what it always thought, when a pane was broken or kitchen utensil missing. Great examples there. Probably coming from Kant's own experience, right? Then it understands the principle and grants it. So common sense can't get us metaphysics. It can tell us stuff about the world. You know, matters of prudence, matters of skill, to use the language that Kant will use in The Groundwork. But it can't get us what we want in metaphysics. And he says that it's really only of use when it can see its rules confirmed by experience. So it can't really tell us about what goes beyond experience or what conditions experience either. So he says that to comprehend matters a priori independently of experience, this is not something for common sense. This is something that belongs to the speculative understanding. Now, understanding there, Verstand, right? So it's not Menschenverstand, it's spekulativisch Verstand that we're working with here, and it lies beyond the horizon of common sense. And he says, listen, the province of metaphysics is entirely confined to this kind of knowledge, what goes beyond experience. And so it's a bad sign of common sense to appeal to it as a witness. It can't really form any good opinion, and people look down on it with contempt until they find themselves in difficulties and then they appeal. So if you meant to use common sense in the first place, well, then you would have done that before. And then he's going to consider what could appear to some people to be a third sort of appeal, but it's actually falling under the rubric of common sense. So he says, it's a common subterfuge of those false friends of common sense who occasionally prize it highly, but usually despise it, to say that there must be some propositions immediately certain. And so, you know, in German, unmittelbar gewiss, that we can say, I know this, absolutely. I don't need something else to prove it. There's no occasion to give any proof or even account, because otherwise we could never stop inquiring into the grounds of our judgments. And this is a way to try to address skepticism. We say, well, there's a lot of things we can doubt and be, you know, unclear about, but there's got to be some things that we know for certain, right? Otherwise, we're kind of screwed. We can't get anywhere with our knowledge of things, because none of our knowledge is really reliable. Well, what would be a candidate for that? And notice the examples that he uses here. He doesn't, you know, bring up, for example, Descartes' I think, therefore I exist, right? Instead, he brings up the principle of what we call non-contradiction, typically in English, but is often called just the principle of contradiction, meaning that a thing cannot be and be in the same way at the same time, right? And, okay, that's good. Maybe that is, in fact, a absolutely certain proposition. But what are you going to get from that? What can you do with that? It's not going to get you anything empirical. It's not going to get you a priori synthetic propositions coming from that. You can get analytic propositions, as Kant discussed much, much earlier in the work, from that. But that's not metaphysics proper, is it? That's just a sort of side note that helps you clarify metaphysics. And, you know, he says that's not sufficient to show the truth of synthetic judgments. What else? Well, maybe mathematical propositions, such as twice two make four, between two points there's but one straight line. And he says, oh, that's fine. that's nice. That ain't metaphysics. So what good is that going to do you to do mathematics? We've already got mathematics. We already know that works, that exists, you know, that is certain. That doesn't get you a priori synthetic judgments that are metaphysical, which is what the challenge was about, wasn't it? So he goes on and he says, I can't by all the power of my thinking extract from the concept of a thing the concept of something else whose existence is necessarily connected with the former, but I have to call upon experience. And though my understanding furnishes me a priori the concept of such a connection, that is causation, I can't exhibit it a priori intuition like I can the concepts of mathematics, and therefore show its possibility a priori. So he says, therefore, in metaphysics, as a speculative science of pure reason, we can never appeal to common sense, but may do so only when, in certain matters, we are forced to surrender it and renounce all speculative cognition, which must always be theoretic knowledge. Therefore, we're forced to forego metaphysics itself and its instruction for the sake of adopting a rational faith, which may alone be possible for us, sufficient to our wants. And then the shape of the thing, he says, is quite altered. You're no longer doing metaphysics as a science. And he says, metaphysics has to be a science, not just in its parts, but in its whole, as a totality. So if you're going to have genuine metaphysics, can't use common sense, can't appeal to that, nor can you rely on probability and conjecture. Neither of these are going to be ways in which we can achieve a genuine metaphysics that Kant wants us to actually do, and which he's trying to provide himself by using critique as his own tool for that. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.